This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Fashion is fickle even for baby and children's clothing, so is Mothercare still a household name? Or has this UK brand lost its appeal and also its way in Malaysia with a surfeit of competition and the shift towards online shopping? We asked Pang Fu Wei, Managing Director at Kim Hin Joo, the ace is a company that is a franchisee of this brand and also ELC, an entertainer toy store in Malaysia. Now, it's a very timely conversation because tomorrow is Children's Day. It seems that no retail business is safe from the negative effects of COVID-19. So has Kim Hin Joo been hit hard, but is recovery in sight? And how soon can you achieve pre-COVID 2019 profit of 9 million?
This year has definitely been very challenging for all of retail. And, you know, the second half of the year is equally, if not more challenging. But the good news is that we are already turning a corner. And since the National Recovery Plan has gone into phase three, we see our numbers improving dramatically. So asking when will we see 2019 figures again? To be honest, I'm really hoping that by next year, based on the current trend, we should be on track to match 2019. And if all of our plans go in place.
Has footfall traffic in your shops recovered? Is it 50, 60% of what it used to be in 2019? And how are people shopping? Are they spending less?
At this point, they're definitely more careful. We see uneven recovery between the different categories. Fashion, for instance, is actually seeing a much better rebound than we expected. So our baby clothes are doing very, very well again. But certain other departments, like footwear, for instance, is not doing as well as before. Then when we start looking at our hard goods category, it's also, again, uneven, where we see consumables doing better than travel items like strollers, for instance.
Yeah, I suppose that's because a lot of people are keeping their children at home. But I'm curious, what steps did you take? Because even during the height of the COVID crisis, the company managed to avoid a loss, except for maybe the last quarter, which was the worst on profit. But it wasn't a loss, it was just a bit of a profit at 92,000 ringgit. How do you manage to stay in the black, though?
We've always been a very cost-conscious company. And because our cost base has always been quite low, when our sales dropped, we managed to stay in the black. It really wasn't rocket science, lah.
Mm. So what kind of cost-cutting did you do, aside from already being very lean? I mean, did you shut any of the 20 Mothercare, 13 ELC and 2 entertainer outlets in Malaysia? Are you still operating those stores? Or did you pressure landlords into giving you some form of rental relief?
So every time the economy closed, we definitely approached the landlords for rental rebate. And by and large, everyone has been very cooperative. I think that everyone knows that this is a national crisis. In fact, no, it's a global crisis and we're all in it together.
Did you close any stores though?
Well, temporarily shut stores. Yes, we did.
But no permanent?
No permanent store closure.
What about from a HR perspective? Did you have to let people go?
No, we didn't.
A winner of this pandemic, of course, has been the online retailers. But for Kim Hin Joo, historically, you're very much a brick and mortar concept. Growth was very much driven by new store openings. Now, and that was actually even the main purpose of the IPO. But has that strategy changed? Are you going to be as aggressive with store openings anymore?
We were quite aggressive at the beginning. But I think our original view about the COVID pandemic was that it was going to last about 6 to 12 months. Unfortunately, this is definitely not the case. And I think that my approach going forward is going to be much more cautiously optimistic going into 2022. So I would say that online is definitely going to be a critical piece of our growth strategy going forward.
So,
and in fact, our numbers have been quite good.
Okay.
On the online front.
So can I assume you're not going to open any new stores for the moment and it's really all about, I would suppose, the buzzword, omni-channel marketing for retailers like yourself?
I guess how I would see it is really from a customer's point of view. Nowadays, the customer journey really is not as straightforward as it was in the past. They might start seeing an ad on social media. They might go to your web store. They might even just walk past your physical stores. it's not like in the past. So parents might come in, they might do their research online, they might come to the physical store, touch and feel the product, and then, you know, still think about it. And then after that, they decide, okay, these are products that we want. So they end up buying it online. So it's not so straightforward as it was in the past. And what we are trying to do is to really refine all of our touch points. If you're coming to a physical store, what do you really want? And for our category, right, it is new to everyone. A first-time parent really doesn't understand what a stroller is like. How should you be shopping for a car seat? We decided that we want to make sure that parents, when they come in, they are able to evaluate each particular product so that they know exactly what they want.
Okay, but do you expect them to do the sale in the store or maybe go home and think about it and eventually buy it online? Because I'm trying to figure out, what is the percentage of sales compared to brick and mortar versus online? Is there a target, or maybe you can give us some gauge of what it is currently?
So right now, our online sales is about 7% of our total revenue. So it's still very, very small, but there is a huge potential to grow. But physical sales will still be the majority for our industry. And it's simply because when a customer is exploring a new category for the first time, they still need to go down to touch and feel the product. So it's not simply about how can the online and offline interact. It's about trying to serve up convenience to the customer. So the offline portion is really to create an immersive experience with the brand and the products. And the online portion is really to help, number one, right, discovery, number two, product research, and number three, convenience of shopping. Mm. And that's how we're going to marry the two together. And of course, the last thing, right, is that one of the new features that we will be implementing with our new system is actually click and collect. And with click and collect, we are also hoping to build in hyperlocal fulfillment in the future, which means that each physical store is able to either allow the customer to come in and collect their orders, or number two, we will be able to ship out customer orders from the store itself. And now we have quite a wide geographical footprint in Malaysia. There are a lot of underserved communities right now where the online fulfillment promise is not good, and our logistics cost is also very high because we are fulfilling all of these orders from central DC. So we see also a competitive advantage with our physical store retail to bring down our logistics costs and increase our fulfillment promise to our customers.
Related to this fulfillment promise and the logistics, right? Help me understand this, because when I look at the second quarter financial results, 3 million ringgit of the IPO proceeds was to be spent on revamping and upgrading the back-end IT infrastructure and e-commerce platform. But I notice only 20,000 ringgit has been spent to date. I mean, why is that the case if really, you know, the focus somewhat is still on online or creating that online platform for King Hyun Jewel?
So one of the reasons why we have been quite slow on this particular front is because we were doing a regional rollout of our system, and it started with Singapore. The unfortunate thing is because during the initial stages of our project implementation, right, we got slammed with the pandemic.
But I thought this would accelerate your business plans.
I agree. But, you know, when the pandemic hit, we were dealing with so many crises, you know, one after another, from the closure of our stores to the health and safety of our workers to, you know, changing our operations to try to scale up e-commerce and just manage through all of these things one after another. And then on top of that, we had to deal with the entire workforce, you know, work from home, and the economy is constantly opening and closing. While we did dedicate a team to really focus on working on this project, but it was quite difficult to work together with our system integrators to actually get the project up and running. And unfortunately, because of the whole work from home, actually it did slow down our project. So once Singapore went live with the new system, we started working with Malaysia. We simply could not do two countries at once. And we also didn't want to, because with every new project implementation, right, there's a lot of things that we need to refine within the system. And we did have a talk with the management. We decided that we can't accelerate it. That might actually magnify a lot of the issues that we are facing. And already with a very lean workforce and with so many things changing on the ground because of COVID, we didn't want to throw in a system implementation into the mix where we'll be changing a lot of our processes.
Is this going to be the focus for 2022? Are you going to spend the 3 million ringgit?
Because we've already committed to it. And actually, we've been working on it for the last few months.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Pang Fu Wei, Managing Director of Kim Hin Joo, the business operators in Malaysia of Mothercare, ELC, and the Entertainer Toy Store. When we come back, are these sunset brands? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Pang Fu Wei, Managing Director of Kim Hin Joo. Before the break, we asked, how soon can this retail company return to profits they enjoyed before COVID-19? And is omni-channel marketing the only way forward? Now, I want to spend some time on the brands that are part of Kim Hin Joo. The most, of course, well-known is Mothercare. But explain this to me, because in the UK, this company has gone into administration with every single physical store in the United Kingdom closed. So, but the company, of course, still operates a franchise global model. Last financial year, results also showed that it declined by 30%. I just want to know, is this a sunset brand? Is this still a brand that parents want to buy?
Well, I definitely think so. And the figures in Malaysia have been very encouraging. The reason why the UK went into administration was because they were locked into very long-term leases. And if anything, right, what saved their brand is this restructure, because it allows them to really focus on product development.
But what happens if even the international business closes and they stop providing all the goods that you rely on to sell in the shops? I mean, isn't Kim Hin Joo very dependent on Mothercare? I mean, I can't see the split between the different brands, but retail alone is more than, what, 80% of your total revenue?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, Mothercare still continues to be our mainstay for the entire group. And the brand actually is getting better. So over the last few seasons, we have seen the commercials of the brand improving. And in fact, even now, because they don't have the physical store retail in the UK anymore, they've been very focused on delivering better product and better quality content. So for instance, even the imagery that is coming out for the products now are much better than in the past. And that also allows us to be more competitive online.
But there must be a lot of competition, and I'm not even going to mention the international brands, but even domestically in Malaysia, we have some homegrown brands. Aren't they how much competition are they giving you?
Oh, of course, there has always been competition. And Mothercare's market share in Malaysia is only 14%. I think what gives us a competitive edge is our volume. Globally, we are one of the largest baby retailers. And that gives us significant cost price advantage. And that is reflected in our financials.
So who's your biggest competitor? Is it Anak Ku?
It's really difficult to say because we don't really have a like-for-like competitor in terms of breadth of product. We sell everything from fashion to feeding to home to travel to toys. And I think that is what makes us unique. The fact that we are one-stop shop for parents. I think the significant difference between us and our competitors as well in terms of business model is that we have a distribution arm. So within that distribution arm, we also have a big portfolio of baby brands that we control. So one of the things that I've been thinking about and as a group, right, we've been trying to figure out is what is going to be our brand and distribution strategy going forward, especially in this hyper-competitive space retail. And the conclusion that we have drawn is that we really have to deliver more exclusive product to our customers and differentiate. And that's why our distribution arm is also critical to our entire business model. The third pillar is actually also product development. So we also have brands like Snapkiss, Mimosa and Love Amy that we have been nurturing and has been growing from strength to strength.
Because my concern is that fashion is extremely fickle, even for children's and baby clothing. I mean, some of the brands that I grew up with almost literally don't exist today anymore, and they're UK brands. So, for example, Topshop has completely closed. I think it's been sold. Physical stores. Debenhams doesn't exist. And even the grand dame of UK fashion, Marks & Spencer, is losing money every year. So I just want to know, like, from your perspective, how does Mothercare keep up with what parents want? Because this trends change, fashion change, people's taste changes, and it's so fickle.
Absolutely. I think the first thing is to, number one, just rely on quality. If you deliver good quality product, right, people will continue to want to come and buy from you. The second thing is that mothercare has never been considered very fashionable to begin with. Actually, we're more of an essential brand. And that is the space that we want to be in. Because essentials, right, are not subject to the same, you know, competitive headwinds that you're talking about of all of these fashion brands. Mm. And you're right. Fashion is very fickle. And fashion is, it changes so quickly. And that's why we don't want to compete in that particular space. The second thing is actually the significant difference is that we sell a very competitive range of hard goods. So things that I mentioned before, feeding products, the consumables, strollers, car seats, those are the reasons why our customers come to us. And then they end up picking up fashion on the way out as well. So I would say that is a huge difference, right, between our business model and all of the other brands that you have mentioned.
Okay, and I'm curious, what is the relationship like between yourselves and Mothercare UK? Because in their annual report, it was stated that the franchise agreement was in its final stages of completion. Has it been inked already?
Yes, it has.
Can you give us some detail on it? How long is this franchise agreement for? Is it on similar terms?
It's on similar terms. And I think it was signed for another 10 years.
If I look at the financials over the last 5 years since 2016, you know, explain this to me. Profit margins seem to be on a declining trend. I mean, it started at 14%. That was in 2016. Then in 2017, it was 12%. Then 2018, it was 11%. In 2019, 9%, and last year, 6%. Okay, last year, I can explain it due to COVID. At least I rationalize it. But isn't this a sign of a business that maybe perhaps is in a bit of a structural decline when you see profit margins drop every year?
Well, I think that it's the nature of retail. Retailer margins have been coming down over the years. And actually, we are already taking measures to counteract this. First thing is that we've expanded our distribution portfolio, and that helps us as a form of an economic moat, because we are the suppliers to the entire market itself. The second thing that we're doing is we also don't want to have too high of a margin because it attracts competition. So we ourselves have taken proactive steps to become more competitive versus our competitors who are coming into the market. And if we continue to charge such high prices, we will ultimately lose market share. So we've decided that, you know, we bring down our prices a little bit, we increase our volumes and we expand our market. And that's something that we have been doing very actively over the last couple of years. Obviously, COVID has kind of, you know, put a bit of a spanner in the works. But I have no doubt that once things get back on track, you know, we will be able to grow again.
So are you expecting profit margins to stay around 99%? Is that normalized profit margins for Kim Hin Joo?
That's where I expect it to be, yes.
And I want to talk about your new store, Entertainer Toy Store. You know, what are your expectations there? Is this part of the diversification kind of plans within the group to reduce the reliance on Mothercare?
Well, yes and no. I didn't see it that way, but you can. The idea there was that Mothercare is a very interesting business because we are capturing a customer at the beginning of a new life stage, which is parenthood. Mm. So Mothercare is very good at acquiring expectant parents in their second and third trimester. And our core consumer has always been from that expectant parent to about 4 or 5 years old. After that, we hand off this customer to our competitors because we don't have arm of the business which caters to older kids. So what we've decided is that if we are going through all of the trouble of doing all of that customer acquisition, right, why not find a business which has strong synergies with that? So the Entertainer was really brought in so that we could extend our customer journey to about 12 years old.
Are there expectations in terms of revenue contribution? Will it be a significant contributor to overall top line?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the toy, we've done our market research and the toy market is actually bigger than the baby market. Mm. So I think over the, you know, the next few years, this is where we expect to see significant growth for the entire group.
Okay, I'm also curious, right, about your role, because you took over from your sister last year to be the managing director of the company. I mean, what are you going to do so differently? And is there a belief in your family business, like yours, that leadership roles must be kept in the among family members?
Well, let me answer your second question first. I don't think that leadership roles have to come from the family itself. And in fact, when I was asked to take over the Malaysian business, I did tell them, yeah, why don't you try to go outside and find a professional CEO first?
Mm.
And actually they went through that whole exercise and they came back and they asked me to do it again. So I said, okay, fine. If you think that I'm the best person for the job, then
but
I will do
is
it.
Is that a really objective test? I mean, as usual.
Oh, absolutely. And the reason why is because no one will work harder for the business than me. Yeah, because I've got such a vested interest in it. And to be honest, you know, retail is very complicated. And our business itself is also not easy. So during this period of transition, the reason why they picked me is because I already knew the business inside out. Mm. A lot of the changes that we are implementing in Malaysia are exactly what we've experimented and done with in Singapore. Singapore opened their first experience store in 2019. Singapore also went through the whole digital transformation, you know, in 2020. So, you know, the reason why I was chosen was simply because a lot of these initiatives were kickstarted already in Singapore and were going to be translated for the rest of the group.
Which leads to my next question, because, yeah, you run the franchise for Mothercare in Singapore, but then why wasn't it ejected into Kim Hing Jun at the time of listing in 2019? I mean, are there plans to, or is it always going to keep the two companies separate?
Oh, that's up for my dad, the chairman, to decide. You know, I think the reason why he chose to list the Malaysian business alone was because he felt that the Malaysian growth story was the most compelling to
investors. And did it turn out to be the case?
Well, I think it would have if it wasn't for COVID-19, you know. And the reason why we didn't inject, we are already so dominant in those markets there, and there was really very little growth to be had. Whereas for Malaysia, you know, like I said, our market share right now is only 17%. So there is a lot of room for growth, especially in the second tier cities.
Okay. But your share price is currently 25.5 cents or thereabouts. But you listed at 43 cents. I mean, what's the plan? I mean, are you all disappointed with the share price performance? You know, do you think it's fairly valued? The market doesn't understand you, doesn't appreciate earnings. I mean, why do you think the share price has been in the doldrums?
Well, multiple reasons, you know. If you ask me as an investor right now, a lot of people would be looking at growth stocks.
Mm.
I think that has really outperformed the market in the last few years, right? And technology, healthcare, those are the key themes that people are looking at. But to be honest, I think that for me anyway, my main focus really is just the business and the operations. I think that if we do a good job there, the share price will follow over time.
On that note, today on The Breakfast Grill was Pang Fu Wei, Managing Director of Kim Hin Joo. I'm Wang Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.